Well, thank you, Sister Anna. Find us faithful, that's the key, amen? Right on to the end. Well, I know it's got our attendance down tonight with some of the folks gone for Thanksgiving and so forth. I want to just bring up a question and kind of speak to it a little bit tonight. I guess if I'm going to give something for the tape room up there, I'd call it the elusive peace. You know, we hear a lot about peace, but peace don't happen. And the scripture says the time will come that they'll say peace when there is no peace. And we certainly are living in that time. Go to Isaiah with me, chapter 57. We'll look at some of the early verses and late verses in chapter Isaiah 57. Give you a chance to find that. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we might go there for just a little bit also, at least a verse or two. So in Isaiah 57, let's read verses 1 and 2. Think about it a little bit. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away. Look at the word taken away. None considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Now, some see, because of the word meaning a little bit here, that the rapture might even be in this verse. You ever think about that? When we're taken away, we're going to be taken away from the evil that's increasing. What we call as Bible students, the tribulation period, for instance. And it says here, taken away from the evil to come. Now, the word here could be translated vanish. I want it always to be just like the King James says it. Taken away. Well, yeah, somebody standing by would say, well, he just vanished. Amen. And it says, he shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. And then if you go to the last two verses of the chapter, chapter 57, Isaiah, says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Have you ever walked side the seashore and noticed the restlessness of the sea and the waves just continuing to bring in the dirt and the mire and the shales and all of that? It's just rolling with God says that's like the heart or the inside of the soul or the disposition basically of the wicked. They can't rest. Have you ever heard somebody say he can't be satisfied until he's done some evil? that's sad commentary on humanity, but it's true. It's true. I think about, every time I think about the word peace and losing peace or taking away peace, I think about the lady that buried her husband. She put on the tombstone, rest in peace. And then she found out that he'd spent all the money on another woman. And she was upset. She went to the funeral director and said, I don't want to spend money on a new tombstone, but I don't want that tombstone to say rest in peace. She finally figured out something that was cheap. She said, all right, carve on the bottom, rest in peace till we meet again. She had plans for him, amen, somewhere. Well, I hate to say it, but peace is elusive to mankind. In his depravity, it's certainly so. You know, here with the election news and all of that, probably you might have overlooked it, but peace is in the news quite a bit. And here, even with the election going on, we had a very serious confrontation with Iran. Did you hear? I mean, the president was considering hitting them, sending a strike in. And I think that's got called off. But you know what the Bible tells us in Ezekiel 36 through 38, it's going to happen. Persia, Iran, is going to come up with a coalition of nations that's going to come against Israel. And many call it World War III. And so peace is not on earth, and it won't be until the Prince of Peace himself brings it till the Lord Jesus comes back. You know, peace is always cried for. History tells us, and I've seen this in a stat, that actually during the whole history of man, only about 200 years could be declared as a time of peace when war was not going on, and that was not 200 years in a row. That was 5 years here, 10 years here, 20 years here. That's quite a sad commentary on mankind, isn't it? You know, the animals will kill to eat, but man will kill for 100 other reasons. He'll kill for property, he'll kill for wealth, he'll kill for anger, he'll kill for all kind of ways. And so man is not a peaceful creature. And we ask the question, why is that? Why don't man have a peace? I want to just say some things tonight and go back to the basics just a little bit. Why doesn't man have peace? Number one, he can't have it because of what he is. So what do you mean? Well, physically, he's a dying creature. And you know what? He knows it. I doubt your dog knows it. I doubt your cat knows it. But humankind knows they're going to die. You understand that? I've said so many times from this pulpit, nobody's ready to really live until they're ready to die. And you can't be ready to die until you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the only one that's going to give you peace about dying. So man is disturbed. He's like the miry sea. He's continuing like the waves rolling in. He's got turmoil on the inside. He's never quite settled down. We're talking about man that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's human nature. That's the worldwide that we see that picture being very real. He's a dying creature. Physically, he's going to die. And the Bible teaches us that man fears death. Hebrews chapter 2 says he's in bondage to that fear. We've come into the COVID thing here for the last 8 or 10 months, and we've seen not the COVID itself being so bad, but the fear of it being so bad. The fear of dying with it, where it is actually, the stats show, it is not the killer that it's been hyped up to be. And there's many other things that kill worse. And we can read that, but that don't comfort people. They're still scared to death. I was saying to somebody this morning, we'd have had a great winter. We'd have packed this building out if this pandemic thing had not happened. People from up north that could not come. People that even of our own church members having to listen on the air because they had no real peace about coming and all of that business. And yet, by the grace of God, we're still here. We're carried on. We're sending the missionaries. We're getting the job done. Thank God for that, because a lot of churches couldn't keep going because of the fear of death. Fear of death. Man is a dying creature. He knows he's a dying creature. Physically, he knows he's dying. But you know, also, he's mentally off. We're all touched just a little bit. Did you know that? Right. Read the stats. They say that a genius is only using 5% of his brain. That's what the fall in the garden did to us. It stripped us of our senses. If genius are 5%, most of you and I are running around 2.5%. Motor won't hardly run on 2 cylinders, but we're getting by, amen? We're skipping along. We're puttering along. But the truth of the matter is, the smartest people you know are not really smart because they can't use 100% of their brain. They're depraved. You know, Adam was pretty smart. They brought all the animals before him in the garden. If you'll study in college yet, you'll still have a hard time naming all the animals that Adam did right off the cuff, we might say. Not only that, we're still studying the names that he called them. Amen? And yes, Adam, I believe with all my heart, if you could have been there and you could have seen Adam before the fall, he'd have looked a lot different. You see, we've never seen... You and I have never seen a perfect man. All we've ever seen is a fallen man, the shell of a man. That's what the fall, that's what sin did to us. And we fell into depravity. And the truth is, a man can't have any peace because of what he is. He's a dying creature. He's mentally touched. He's off balance. And he don't have the answers to his questions. What questions? He don't know who he is. He don't even know why he's here. And what steals his peace is he don't know where he's going. And I'm talking about the world in general. You look out there. If they have never received Christ, if they don't understand the gospel and the scripture, you don't understand why they don't have any peace. I mean, it just adds up, brother. You understand that. You think about it. How would you like to get on an airplane or a train and it just takes off and you don't know where you're going? That'd be a little bit miserable. I made a wrong turn or two and didn't know where I was going, and I didn't have any peace till I got back right and knew I was going where I wanted to go. Amen. Haven't you been there?
Yep.
I think about the airplane pilot that they were up in the air, and he come back and he left it on automatic pilot, and he come back and he said to the passengers, he said, "I got good news and bad news." He said, "The good news is we're making great time, but the bad news is I have no idea where we're at." That wouldn't give you much peace, would it? Well, that's the kind of way man goes through life. He's not sure where he's going. Do you know that I got saved and met the Lord Jesus Christ? That was a big thing deep inside. How's it going to turn out? What am I doing here? Who am I? And biggest of all, where am I going? Now, I'd heard enough tidbits of scripture here and there to be concerned about it. A lot of folks have not heard enough, and they've read something in a book somewhere about evolving and all that. But let me ask you, is there any comfort in saying, "Well, I'm evolving"? I tell you where you're going to evolve to, right into the ground. You're going to die. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and what? Here's where it steals a piece. After this, the judgment. That's what men fear. So why come man can't have any peace? Because of what he is. Let me move to another thought. I'll tell you why he can't have peace: because of what he's done. Oh, yeah. He's broken fellowship with God. If you turn over here to Isaiah 59, pick it up in about verse 1. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but," crossing the street now, "but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." You see, man has broken fellowship with God, and in his heart and soul he knows that he has. That don't bring peace because of what man has done. You know, Adam felt that guilt in the garden. He and Eve went and hid in the bushes, remember? And God came walking in the cool of the day. You remember what God said? God, it wasn't that God didn't know where they were. But he said, "Adam, what has I done?" It wasn't that he didn't know what he'd done. Adam didn't know what he'd done to the degree that he'd done it, but he threw the whole world into the sin curse that came, and what an awful thing that it was. But he felt guilty, ran and hid. Have you ever seen your own kids run and hide because of nothing but guilt? You didn't shout at them, you didn't holler at them, but something deep inside, they knew they'd done wrong. I remember many years ago, I was starting the bus ministry, started the first three bus routes myself. And these bus workers can tell you this over and over. But I remember going out and, you know, knocking doors and lining all the kids up to ride on Saturday. And so I come by with the bus on Sunday morning early to pick them up. And I remember going down a certain street, not too far from the church here, to where the house where a little boy lived. I had seen him on Saturday. He was going to come ride my bus on Sunday. And as I got within about a block or two, I saw the kid in the yard. But he heard the bus coming, and he went and hid behind the tree, just like Adam in the garden, because he'd made up his mind he wasn't going, and he felt the guilt because he knew he was supposed to. He had promised to. So he went and hid. Have you ever seen that with your kids? Of course we have. Listen, I used to dread supper time, didn't you? Because whatever I'd done that day, I had to look across the table at Daddy and Mama, and somehow or another, Mama could read my mind. You know what I'm talking about? And I hate to face Daddy. She, you know, Mama's a big threat. I guess all mamas have this built into them. "I'll tell your daddy on you." And she would. And so I'd have that guilt. Have you ever heard a parent say, he's done something wrong. They read the reflexes, the face, the features, and so forth. You see, what man has done steals his peace. He's broken fellowship with God. Started with Adam, and it's still true today. You know, a child's guilt. When he lies, I don't know about you how well your memory is. My memory goes way back pretty good. And I remember as a kid when I'd done something wrong, having a hurting conscience. Did your conscience ever hurt? When your conscience hurts, what is it? Is that your brain hurting? Is that your heart hurting? Is that your liver hurting? Is that your gallbladder hurting? No, it's your soul hurting inside. Very real, very real. As a child, I remember that kind of guilt. I think of different times. I could tell you stories. I think the youngest I ever, when it first hit me, I'll have to teach you science here a little bit. But the older kids were out playing on the pecan trees. They were 10, 12, even teenagers. And they were playing marbles. Did anybody know there's such a game called marbles? Do you? All right. But they had a big old circle drawn out there in the hard soil and driveway. And they were playing marbles. Well, I was a little kid. I was hardly 4 years old, maybe, on the front porch with the adults, bored to death with the adults, wanted to be with the kids, but I knew I was not accepted among them. And then they jumped on their bicycles and they rode off and they left the marbles on the ground. The adults wasn't paying me any mind, and of course I was barefooted. Most of the kids were in those days. I just walked out there and casually walked through that circle of marbles, and some of them got stuck between my toes. For you that don't know it, we were pig-toeing them. Getting more, okay, that's science now. Pig-toeing the marbles. And I walked back up, got into the porch in the house, and put the marbles in my pocket. And I thought I'd pulled a big trick. Isn't that amazing how that's built into us? Never stole nothing in my life. Didn't even think about stealing. It was just, I got the marbles. I was kind of getting vengeance on them because they were not accepting me into their gang. And then they came riding back down the driveway, and I'm sitting on the porch watching them. And then something happened I did not expect to happen. All of a sudden, as they come riding up, guilt hit me. Fear hit me. I don't know how, but I thought they were going to know it was me and that the marbles was missing, and I had them. And I jumped up and ran down the hall of that big old farmhouse to one of the back bedrooms, and I went in the door and I went under the bed. And I came up between the bedstead and the wall, crying and scared to death. Now, my mother was a good psychiatrist. She was very discerning. She knew something had happened. Next thing I knew, she come in the door looking for me. And I had to tell her what I'd done. Worse than that, I had to take the marbles back to the kids. I'll tell you, that was awful on a four-year-old. But you know what I learned? I learned God was on the inside saying that's wrong. And I felt guilt and I felt fear. And I want to tell you today, you ever think about this? You know, a lot of criminals, it's amazing. You read about it in the paper and some awful bad stuff happens and murder takes place. And the next thing you know, some guy's what they call singing, confessing, telling the whole story. Say, well, how'd they get him to talk? They didn't. Something on the inside got him to talk. God on the inside got him to talk. You see that happening quite often. God, man doesn't have any peace with God because he's broken fellowship with him. His sins has come and separated between him and his God. And that sin, unconfessed in the soul, unforgiven, no answer to it, puts the soul in hell before the soul gets to hell. It's a hell in this life to suffer like that. I read where a psychiatrist said, he said, many of the patients we see and the problems, he said, men would not need us. I guess he was probably a Christian himself, because he said men would not need to come see us if they'd visit an old-fashioned altar. Get right with God. That was the place they'd find their peace. And they wouldn't find it nowhere else. Man doesn't have any peace because of what he is, because of what he's done. And then he doesn't have any peace because of what he has not done. Say, what's that? Well, God expects us to live righteous for Him, and we haven't. We haven't. We haven't. We don't have the works of righteousness that God requires. The Bible says we've come short. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And that steals our peace also. Not only we've done wrong, but we didn't do what we were supposed to do. So man is a creature that he can't have any peace on his own. He'll never have the answer to that because of what he has not done. You see, Jesus said to the Pharisees, can you imagine? This is a religious crowd. I mean, this was the crowd that tithed off of mint and anise, every little thing, the pepper and the salt, so to speak, in the cabinet. They took a tenth of that as well as their money. They were being so precise, trying to earn their way to heaven with their own righteousness. And the crowd standing around knowing the Pharisees lived that way. And Jesus said to the Pharisees in front of the crowd, he said, except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall no wise enter in. Can you imagine the common man hearing that? You mean I can't go into heaven unless my righteousness is greater than theirs? How can my righteousness be greater than theirs? They stand on the corners with the long robes. They give their alms in public. And they were the epitome of man's best. And Jesus was saying, you got to exceed that. Wow. Well, the good news is Jesus provides a righteousness that did exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Oh, yeah. The Bible says, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in him. When you receive Jesus Christ, you pick up a righteousness above the scribes and Pharisees. You pick up the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is perfection. And the only way we go into heaven is to have that righteousness. And the only way we're going to walk in peace down here on this earth is to have the assurance that heaven's our home. How do I get peace on earth? You get it by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. All the devil will come by, he'll whisper in your ear, do you remember that? Do you remember that? Do you remember what you said? Do you remember what you done? And you, if you know the Lord Jesus, you can say, it's all covered. All that ever done wrong is covered, it's paid for. All that I should have done right and didn't do, that's taken care of also, because I'm clothed in his righteousness. Oh, that brings peace. You won't get peace without that. Oh, yes. That's the peace of God that the Bible talks about that passeth all understanding. The world can't understand why we have the peace we have. And by the way, as Christians, we shouldn't fall apart like the world does over bad things. I wish the election had went the other way, but I didn't fall apart over it. The sun came up the same way the next morning. I breathe one breath at a time the same way. I mean, God is still there. He's still the winner. He still told me it's going to be all right. So I can have peace that the world don't understand. Amen? Oh, it's sad. Some of the bad stuff we see down here. No doubt about it. But you see, Jesus is the answer. He's God incarnated. Came into flesh as God to pay off my sin I couldn't pay off. That takes care of my guilt. And to provide me his righteousness. That gives me a peace and assurance that I never had before, and I can have it now. You say, well, I went to the doctor and I got a bad diagnosis. That's okay. It don't change a bit of what Jesus did for you. Amen. His righteousness is just as much as before you went to the doctor. Home in heaven is just as sure as before you went to the doctor. You say, well, I got a statement from the bank and I'm broke. That's all right. It didn't take any of the righteousness of Jesus away from you. You'd still have peace about it. Amen. Think about that just a little bit. I mean, the answer is Jesus. Why don't man have any peace? Well, what he is, he's depraved, he's a sinner. What he's done, and then what he hasn't done, he hasn't lived up to the standard of righteousness that the Lord had for him. The truth of the matter is, if you receive Christ, you're complete in him. Book of Colossians says we are complete in him. That's where we can have peace that the world don't understand. Oh, I tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to have that settled in your heart. Ask you tonight, do you remember a time you didn't have it settled? Do you remember the time that you had great fear? Fear of death, fear of facing God. You remember that? I sure do remember it. I'll be honest with you, since the day I got saved and understood that great truth, death has not been the boogeyman it used to be. Oh, if God gave me my choice, it's not that I fear death, it's the way I'm going to die. You know, I'd like to say, Lord, give me a choice. Let me just go to sleep one night and wake up with you. Wouldn't that be nice? That may not be his plan. His plan might be to lay on a bed of cancer suffering. It may be like my brother is right now, or he'd like for God to let him go. But God is the one that makes that call. And so I've got peace about it that when God does it, he'll do it his way. Somebody said, aren't you afraid of dying of COVID? No, if that's God's way, it'll be all right. Amen. Truth of the matter is a lot of God's people shaking in their faith, acting like, I said to one person, a member of the church, they probably hadn't forgiven me yet over it. I said, you think your death is going to shock God? It's not going to surprise God. He's still in charge. So receive some peace of God in your heart and in your soul, because he's in charge. He's the one you're trusting. Folks, it all boils down to that. And as the Bible says, evil men are waxing worse and worse, and things in the world are going to look worse. I mentioned a while ago about almost having a strike on Iran. That's going to happen sooner or later, because the Bible says it is. It's going to be a World War III, if you want to call it that. Now, all of that's going to be fulfilled, but it's okay. I know the one that has bought my peace. Oh, yes, I can read what the book says is going to happen. It's going to happen because the Bible says so. Right. But God's plan is still, it's still right where he put it. And it's going to fulfill just like he said that it would. And I can have peace about that. Now, tonight, if you walked into this building or if you're listening on radio and you say, I don't understand that, you don't understand it because you don't know Jesus in reality. You know him, he gives you a peace. Gives you a peace. And wonderful to live for him, but better. And you don't have to worry about dying. He's in charge of that. Amen? Amen. Wonderful truth. Do you have him tonight? Do you know him? Do you have the peace he gives? You're not going to have it naturally, humanly. You're only going to have it spiritually through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight you can receive him if you haven't. You can come and believe on him. You can pillow your head saying, okay, Lord, if tonight's it, it's all right. I'll wake up with you and it'll be okay. Amen. Did you ever pray the prayer as a kid? And now lay me down to sleep. If I should die, something like, may the Lord take my soul. I lost it. I hadn't prayed it in a long time. Prayed that when I was a lost kid and didn't understand anything. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I believe it is. But you know what? I didn't get any peace until I knew the one that died for my soul and paid the price for my sins. Now I can pray a lot of things and I can go to bed with peace because it's right with him. Amen. You have that tonight? It's your opportunity to come and receive Christ and to have that peace that he gives. Would you bow your heads and stand with me, please? Father, we commit the invitation to you. Lord, we spoke a little bit tonight and kind of rejoiced over what we have in Christ. Where the world is losing their head and falling apart and don't understand it and fighting over everything. War's on the horizon. The devil is disturbing man in every way he can. We can still, in the midst of it, have a peace that passes the understanding of the world. I pray you'd help us as God's people to let that peace show to others and tell them about the peacemaker, the one that's coming back that one day will bring peace that man cannot bring. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. In him we have it all. We thank you and we thank you for what we have in his name. Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give.
Will you come? Maybe just for prayer. may I ask you a question? Do you have the peace I'm talking about? If it depends on you, you won't have much peace. But if you let it depend on him, you'll have peace.
I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
Don't let the world steal your peace. The devil will lie to you. He'll try to scare you.
All to Jesus.
It can't be that easy, but it is. Not easy. Jesus paid an awful price for you to have it, but it's paid for. You can't add to it. You can just rejoice over it. Say, preacher, I don't understand all that. You're telling me something when you say that. You need Jesus in your heart. All the benefits that comes with him brings peace. You won't have it without him. If you're depending on how good you can be, you've already failed. You can't do it. When folks, and I got a letter this week from somebody, one of our teenagers, I guess, had put a track on a car windshield, and so I got a letter fussing about it. You know, that tells me a lot about people. And part of the argument was, you lose your salvation. That tells me something about somebody. That means they're depending on themselves. Yes, you could lose it if you could get it by yourself. You can't get it by yourself, and you can't lose it.
Amen.
It's either of God, and when you know it's of God and you're trusting him, you'll get over that business about losing it, because he not only saved you, he's going to keep you.
Amen.
Somebody like that tells me they don't really have any peace. They're worrying. They're not sure. Was I good enough today? Did I sin so bad to lose it today? That's a miserable life. No peace, no peace. When it all depends on him and you've turned it over to him, then you can have peace. That's the answer. That's the answer. All right, thank you, folks. All right, hope everybody can have a good Thanksgiving week this week. And in spite of all the junk you're hearing about it, don't be afraid to get around your family or whatever. I said this in the very beginning. If my God was big enough, I could trust my soul to him. I could trust the flu to him.
Amen.
Amen. All right, turn around and shake hands with somebody. God bless you. Let's be dismissed.